So in the gospel last week, in the sacred liturgy of last week, the analysis of the church in many ways is on the history of the church as a whole. And this week on the history of the soul. The soul that travels through tribulations in this life, in the epistle. And then the various types of souls that come into contact with Jesus Christ in the gospel. One of these types of souls is little bitty babies, little children. And notice in the last few weeks that we have quite a concert going on during Mass. And so I just ask that, and the babies are making a lot of noise, making their noise. The mothers just take them into the back of the church. There's the speaker and all that in the back of the church. They can go out to beyond the what's now a curtain and what eventually will be a door. And, into the narthex there with the little children. And so please, you know, then the children start to make noise, that they bring them out there. And so just please try to do that. But in any case, the various types of souls. In the beginning of the gospel, and everyone gathered around him, says in the gospel today. Here taken this commentary taken primarily from St. Bernardine of Siena. And there was a very great crowd. So our Lord was always surrounded by a crowd, but this particular day, he is surrounded by a very great crowd. And there were men from every town that were resorting to him. So he was in the height of his popularity. And Jesus Christ stood out upon a crowd that was larger than the normal crowd that would listen to him. And he looked into the crowd. And St. Bernardine of Siena says the church looks into souls. And there are times when there are thousands and thousands that come to hear the words of the church and the teaching of the gospel is popular. And there are times when the gospel is unpopular. We count the numbers of those at Mass. And this was one of the times in which there were many, many people. And Christ says that a sower went out to sow seed, and he sowed seed on four different types of ground, and three of them were bad. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He was speaking to the majority of people. He would speak mysteriously. When he would speak to a small crowd, he would speak plainly. When he would speak to the large numbers, he would speak mysteriously. Precisely the opposite of the way in which we would speak in these situations. We are standing before many people that have seen Jesus Christ for the very first time. They heard about him, now they're coming to listen to his words. They heard how he could speak so well and how he could explain things so well. And then he spoke a parable that no one, including the apostles, understood. They went home scratching their heads. And they were waiting for the explanation from Christ. And his explanation was, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. I'm not explaining it to you. Later on that night, the apostles said, what on earth were you saying in the sermon today? We've heard you speak many beautiful and powerful words and speak with such great clarity so many times, says St. Bernardine of Siena. And now this time we have a huge crowd and everyone wants to hear your words. Everyone wants to listen to you. And now you stand up and you say, well, there's four types of ground and these are what they are. And I'm not explaining what they are. And if you can figure it out, good luck. And then our Lord responds to the apostles who asked these words to him. For you it is given to understand, but for them it is not given to understand. Why does Christ speak in parables to the many and only plainly to the few? He sees the souls. There are souls who will not respond to the grace of God. God gives grace to all to be saved. He gives sufficient grace. But there are souls who will not respond. These souls were standing in the crowd. 3/4 of those in the crowd that day were not good ground. It was not useful to explain to them the heights of the spiritual life, for it would go through them one ear and out the other. It would not benefit them. And so there was a very great crowd which received very little benefit from the words of God made man. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Such is the wisdom of the divine preacher. One would think he would have saved his best sermon for when there were 1,000 people. He gives his most confusing. Such is his wisdom. It is intimated in the spiritual life by St. Paul in the epistle that is put together with the gospel. You put up with fools, and you say you are fools, but I am more so. We see the foolishness of St. Paul in his actions in the epistle. We see the foolishness of Christ in his preaching in the gospel. A few of those souls that reject the word grace of God. We'll not consider all of them. The first worry is that of riches, the thorny ground. Here from St. Bernardine of Siena. The problem of riches. They're choked out by the cares of this world. St. Bernardine says, riches destroy the grace of God, and they choke out the gospel. Now, the primary way that they do it, says St. Bernardine of Siena, quoting St. Augustine, is by care. Our Lord uses that word in the gospel, the cares of this world. When we have possessions, we care about them. We think about them. We worry about them. Our thoughts are overtaken by them. It is not so much the riches themselves as the care that they produce. So there is the care. Then there is the pride that comes from riches. Firstly, the care. We each of us have money, we each of us have possessions, we each of us have work that we have to do. And even though we go to church and we practice the faith is literally choked out by our cares. We are so worried about the possibilities of bad things happening in our lives, and it is the same problem for priests as it is for the faithful in this regard. So our church is broke. We have theoretically $100,000 in credit card debt. Hypothetical situation. So we worry. We worry about money. Even when we are in the presence of God. And when we worry about these things in the presence of God, the word of God goes through the ear. It goes into the heart. And it is choked out of existence. The cares of this world choke out of existence the faith of God and the gospel. The gospel which will heal the problems of the cares of the world is not as strong in my heart as the cares of the world are. I'm worried about persevering in my faith. I'm worried about growing in the spiritual life. And I'm worried about losing my job and making the next payment on the car and the house and so on. And it is the worry of the house payment that is bigger than the worry about the salvation of my soul. And hence the care of the house payment being larger, it chokes out the lesser care. And so my soul does not advance in the spiritual life. This care causes many to commit mortal sins, to leave the church quickly, and to be damned, says St. Bernardine of Siena. And this care causes many of those who are in the church to not do the good that God wants them to accomplish. God has many things in store for us. He has great plans. He has great desires. And these desires are to spread His kingdom throughout the world. But our small cares about money, though we do not turn to mortal sin, keep us from doing the will of God, and many souls are damned by these cares. I cannot go to heaven by myself. I cannot go to hell by myself. And my good actions affect others unto good. My bad actions affect others unto bad. And even sometimes when I only commit venial sins, though I am not gravely responsible for these things because they are venial sins, sometimes there are grave consequences for even venial sins. And so souls are choked out by the cares of this world. So riches produce cares and anxieties, anticipatory fear of something bad that may happen. Now, with this care comes a false sense of responsibility, says St. Bernardine. We believe because we pay attention to our money, because we are good with our money, because we are responsible with our money, that therefore we are responsible. We define responsibility in relation to money. A man who is responsible with money is responsible. A man who is irresponsible with money is irresponsible, period. This becomes the definition of responsibility. I am a good man, I am a smart man, I am a successful man because I am a rich man. And those who would listen to me would learn. Those who would do things my way would learn. And this chokes out the gospel. And so pride comes from this care. Firstly, we worry about ourselves and about our money and about our material gain. But this worry wears us down, and it is counterbalanced by pride, not by virtue, but by pride. Well, I may worry about my funds, but I know that I've been responsible, and therefore it's not my fault. And so I counterbalance worry with pride, and then I counterbalance pride with worry, and I go between sin and sin. And these things, which are normally venial sins, these things choke out the spiritual life. And they even lead eventually to loss of faith in many. And so the thorns. And then a second consideration of these type of souls, the ones that the devil, it says the devil pulls out the love of God in their hearts. Read it again in the gospel. We went first to the thorny ground, which was the third. Now we go back to the first ground. The devil comes and takes away the word of God. Now those by the wayside, those along the path on the highway, they are those who have heard. They heard the word, but then the devil came and he took the word away from their hearts, that they may not believe and be saved. Three kinds of these souls that are in our pews, says St. Bernardine of Siena. In this particular sermon of St. Bernardine of Siena, he is referring to the souls on bad ground, who are already within the church. Those who are doing things that are leading them away from the church. It says the first method that the devil uses to bring the love of God out of our hearts. It says the first kind of souls are those who are too curious. They said that curiosity killed the cat, and it has killed many a soul. Now, they are curious about many things. Curious about the sins of others in the parish. Curious about the defects of the priest and so on. His bad decisions, his favoritism, his whatever. And these things lead to a false scandal. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe these things are happening in this parish. And this is supposed to be the house of God. And the word of God is taken out of the heart. Now, there is a negative curiosity and a positive curiosity. Both happen at the same time, says St. Bernardine. The negative curiosity is the one by which we see all the evil in the parish and in the church of God. We look for the news. Nowadays, this curiosity of the devil is all throughout the news with the scandals coming out in the church. It is necessary that every scandal be put on the front page and that it be in the news, even if it has no truth in it. Doesn't matter if it's a lie. If it's a scandal, it must be brought forth. so that people can mock the church and see the evil of the church and placate their consciences, because deep down inside, the majority of men in Western civilization realize that they should belong to the Catholic Church, and it therefore placates their consciences when they can see evil in that church. Look at all those homosexual priests. Look at all that pedophilia. Look at all that money grabbing. Look at all this. Look at all that. And so on the one side, we are curious about negative things. And this is one way in which the devil stifles the love of God in our hearts and the gospel in our hearts, the word of God. Then there is a second way, which is at the same time, the positive curiosity. And that is, we are curious about sin and curious about false beliefs. We hear people say baloney, say lies on the TV, in the news. You know, they've got a point. I mean, I don't agree with them, but, you know, they've got a point. Maybe I should research that a little bit more. And then, of course, the impurities that are put before us. Our curiosity seeks evil as though it is good. Our curiosity sees good as though it is evil. And in this way, the devil destroys the God, and he takes God out of our hearts. We are taken along the road. We've heard the word of God, but it is taken away by our evil thoughts. The second way, some souls are too delicate, says St. Bernardine of Siena. They speak to everybody about virtues. These are the souls that are holier than thou. The devil has pulled the gospel out of many souls by this method. You convert to the traditional Catholic faith, the true Catholic faith. You go to Mass every Sunday. You learn that you're supposed to wear your dresses, you ladies, and you learn how to wear the veils on your heads and no longer dress immodestly. You learn about how to read spiritual books. And then you take this knowledge and you develop your own personal spirituality, and then you look at everyone else in relation to virtue. Are they practicing virtue? Are they real Catholics? You know, if they're not going all the way and trying to follow God's law, then they're not real Catholics. I don't want, you know, it really scandalizes me when I go into the back of St. Isidore's, and I've had this happen to me already 4 or 5 times from visitors that have been here from other parishes. I'm glad they're not my parishioners, because I would chop their heads off and cut them in little bitty pieces. But they weren't my parishioners, so I was nice to them. But they have come up to me and they have said, you know, I'm really, really scandalized. You know, I come into the St. Isidore's and I see these ladies come in and they're wearing jeans and they're not properly dressed and so on. You know, and I mean, I can't believe you allow these things in the church. You know, and this is just a terrible thing. I come to this church to see virtue. I come here to see holiness. I come here to see piety. And what do I see? This just shocks me to no end. Beware of judging others according to virtue, says St. Bernardine of Siena. This is the second way the devil destroys the word of God in our hearts. Whatever I do, everyone else has to do it, of course. We all know that. And so we judge everyone according to what I do. Now, if I don't do something, well, then it's probably not that important. So it's no big deal if you don't do it either. But if I do something, then you have to do it also. And if you don't, well, then you're just not spiritual. You're just not virtuous. And in fact, every time I stand up here at the pulpit, I look down and I say, oh, come on, give me this. These are the people you gave me. God, give me a break. What can I do? They're just not spiritual like me. I just get depressed every time I stand up here. Look at this. And so we judge according to virtue, says St. Bernardine of Siena. Beware of judging according to virtue. We want real Catholics. That's when you hear that word. You ever heard that word before? We want real Catholics. We want the real followers of Jesus Christ. None of these flim-flam, wimpy Catholics. We want the real thing. Little do we know, the words sound holy, but they come from the mouth of Satan. And this is the second way that the devil destroys the word of God in our hearts. And then the third way, says St. Bernardine of Siena, as those souls who are not tempted to be spiritual at all. You see, some of you are tempted to be very spiritual, and therefore you judge others according to spirit. Others are tempted and are bored by too many long sermons. This is what St. Bernard says. Too many long sermons. So you come into church, I mean, you're a spiritual guy, you want to become holy, but I mean, come on. It's 9:53, we started Mass at 9. I mean, I love God and everything, but at this rate, we're not going to get out of here until 10:45. And so we measure our spirituality according to the clock. You know, we get more people at St. Isidore's if they'd have more low Masses. You know, the high Mass is only 15 minutes longer than the low Mass. But imagine that, the pain involved of listening to that singing for an extra 15 minutes. And so we measure everything according to time. And the spirituality, you want to go to Mass every Sunday, but you don't want a really long drive, and you don't want a really long sermon. I mean, besides, you can't even remember it, for heaven's sakes. You know, when you hear those short sermons, you remember them well, and it really helps your soul, but the long ones, give me a break. Kids can't take it. I can't take it. This is causing people to leave the church. And so this is the way the devil pulls the grace of God out of our souls. These are three ways. Now, what's interesting, St. Bernardine says, of the types of ground, the devil works in the ground of the faithful. It is those people on the outside of the world that are more they brought away from the faith by cares and riches. When a man who is outside the church is worried about riches, he won't enter the church. But when you're inside the church, you may worry about riches, and you'll hurt your faith, but you won't leave it. The way the devil gets you to leave the faith is by being scandalized through your curiosity as regards to all the scandals going on in the parish. You may not be aware of the scandals of St. Isidore's, but they're there, let me tell you. I don't know what they are, but it doesn't really matter. They're horrible. It's awful what's going on. So therefore, you should leave the church because of all the terrible scandals. Many people have come up in this argument, given this argument to us in our schools throughout the country. I can't put my kids in your school because when I put my kids in your school, they were on the playground and they heard the other kid cussing. So I have to put them in public school where all they have is promiscuity, drugs, constant cursing, and garbage education. I have to do it because my kids are going to be harmed by putting them in your school where they might hear a curse word on the playground when the teacher isn't looking. I mean, if you had a spiritual school, I would put my kids in your school, but I mean, come on, I have no choice but to put them in public school where they're going to go straight to hell. And that's the reasoning. And they tell us that explicitly. That's the devil. That's the way the devil works. You see the evil in that which is good. And therefore the gospel doesn't enter into the heart. And you see the good in that which is evil. And then, of course, and then the other ways. I'm forgetting now. Look back at St. Bernard here. But this is in any case, we'll have to close here with this too many boring sermons. I guess we don't want to have another one. I'd hate to have more people leave the church from another boring sermon. But the devil gets into the heart. Let him not get into the heart. Let not the curiosity of evil and the curiosity of the good of the modern world bring you away from the gospel. Let not the worry about too many boring sermons get you away from the gospel. Or the so-called delicate conscience, the delicate conscience, the middle one that St. Bernardine of Siena speaks about, those who are worried by the virtue, the lack of virtue they see in the parish. I would join this parish, I would stay in this parish if only people were more virtuous like me. And so let's not fall into the traps of the devil to take the word of God and crush it out in our hearts. Let's not let that happen. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. Excuse me. I meant to say the closing words as the good ground. Those who hear the word of God and keep it. The key to the gospel is that you hear the word of God and keep it in your own heart. And it's so difficult to do that because of the temptations of our world and our own foolish weakness that we don't have time to worry about how everyone else is evil. We don't have time to be curious. We don't have time to be scandalized. We don't have time to be bored. And so we grow in the spiritual life. We work on our own souls. And in this way, we become an example to others, and then they benefit also. But it is necessary to be good myself, not to worry about the good of others. And so let that be the spirit of our spiritual life. The Word of God has been in the church for 2,000 years. And yet the church, the whole world, is not yet Catholic. Why is that? There's nothing wrong with the Word. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It's only the ground. And I'm a little piece of ground. And if I turn my ground into a ground that hears the Word and keeps it, then one more part of this universe will become a part of the kingdom of Christ. But if I worry about all the other pieces of ground, then one more part, meaning my part, becomes a part of the kingdom of the devil. So let's not fall for that trap. And let us be good ground. It listens to the word of God and tries our best to keep it and not worry about everyone else. And I'll close it to that, and God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.